It's no longer in secret anymore. It's right out there in your face. We thought Mario Cuomo was a little bit to the side of the liberal. He ain't seen nothing yet. He has somebody running against him who's going to redefine Democratic politics in New York. They speak and they utter hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. Yeah. It's right out there. So, I got a great verse for that. Turn with me in Isaiah chapter 47. As I've been studying on worship, as I've told you, I've gone through various books of the Bible, looking at particular passages of Scripture that I can read, whether it's Psalms or Proverbs or Isaiah. And this is one of my worship verses in Isaiah. It's not a positive worship verse. It's a negative worship verse, because I think there's things to be learned when we compare what the real item is with the counterfeit. So in Isaiah 47, we're going to have some counterfeit worship. So I'll let you know right up front. In Psalms, it says they boast themselves. They're proud. They're wicked. They utter and they speak hard things. They boast themselves. Isaiah 47, verse 8. Therefore, hear now this. Thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. That's a Facebook generation. It's all about me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day. The loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. Good passage, ain't it? So here we have in Psalm 94, a generation, no, we have a world that's bent on secularism. A world that's bent on removing God from every vestige of life possible. Verse 5. They, the wicked, the proud, those that boast themselves, they break in pieces not only the inhabitants of the earth, not only nations, but they are so blatant that they're breaking in pieces God's people. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. And they don't care. In fact, that's their MO. That's what their goal is. That is what their plan is. Because the most dangerous people in America right now, who are not on the LGBTQ wave, are people that go to church. NPR said that last week. National Public Radio. So the hit list is there. I mean, you know, we'll be soon public enemy number one. Verse 6. They, the wicked, the proud, the workers of iniquity, slay the widow. Now, these are some serious things. They utter and they speak and they boast. Now, those things come out of the mouth. But it says here, in verse number 5, they break in pieces Verse number 5, they afflict. Verse number 6, they slay the widow and the stranger. And not only that, they murder the fatherless. Now, the Bible clearly says the word murder. It doesn't say kill, so therefore it means cold-blooded murder. Verse 7. Yet they, what? Say. Yet they say. What do they say? The Lord shall not see. No, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. We're good. We can get away with this. Cold-blooded murder. We're immune to this. So they're saying that the Lord is blind. Or they're believing in a blind God. And what's so interesting about that is because we will find out in the next few verses that God is neither blind nor deaf in any way, shape, or form. And we that think, God's people, that we could learn something, because this psalm is not directed toward, hopefully, our wickedness, our iniquity, our pride. But if it's there, it's a good warning for us. It's a good heads up to realize that God's after the proud, the wicked, the workers of iniquity. God will not allow that to happen. Now, his time is not our time, and it might not be taken care of here, but it might be taken care of in the hereafter. But either way, we have to be really careful not to worry about the wicked prospering, because that can become a real stumbling block to us. All right? Okay, so there's the first segment of this particular psalm. There is what we might call the toleration of injustice. And we can look at this and say, oh, woe is me. This is overwhelming. We all read the last chapter, right? We've all read the last chapter. Okay. So Jonah faced a nation that Jonah said, I'm not even going to give them the gospel. They hate our nation so badly. I'd rather die drowning than tell them about the God of Israel. That's how much he despised those people. Of course, those of us that are redeemed, those of us that are saved, we were one of them. First Corinthians. First Corinthians. Chapter 6. Starting with verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous. Let me pause. Those two things, effeminate nor abusers of themselves with mankind, those are homosexual sins. Okay, clearly right there. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's good. That's a great list. But verse 11 says, and such were some of you. We were those people. But ye are washed, thank God. Ye are sanctified, I hope so, or in the process of getting there. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. Verse number 8. Psalm 94, verse 8. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? So the author is comparing men to animals. to beasts? Are you so blind? Are the lost so removed from God? Are they such foolish individuals that their behavior can be compared with the beasts? Verse 9. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? I was reading something written in 1895 about the eye. A medical doctor had written a treatise on the eye in 1895. It was so compelling. It was like 3 or 4 pages long. I read that and I thought, wow. That's what this medical doctor thought 125 years ago. And he basically said, I can't write about the ear because we can't see it. Now, we know it's in there. And he described the inner ear, and he talked about the cochlear chambers, and he talked about the hair follicles and all that stuff. But he said, now the eye is right there. We can examine the eye clearly. But this begins with the hearing, right? Faith cometh by hearing. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? So why is it? How is it? In God's name, can people be so foolish to think what we say doesn't matter? That God isn't listening. He that formed the eye, shall he not see? So God is dealing with first sense hearing, which is very important because that's how we get saved. Second sense seeing, verse number 10, he that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct behavior? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The Bible talks about meditating in your heart. So here we might have a whole nother organ, a physical organ being compared to a spiritual organ. He that teacheth men knowledge, shall he not know? Perhaps this is referring to the heart. So we have the ear, the eye, and the heart. Verse 11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. I don't know. It doesn't say God knows what our physical appetites are like, what our hang-ups are. Of course he does. He made us. But this scripture doesn't say that. It says the thing that we think separates us from all of creation. We think we are so incredible. We think we are it. The universe has arrived because we're here. And this passage says, God knows the thoughts of man. So even though God put us in charge of the animal kingdom, gave us dominion over the earth, he knows how fallible and foolish we are. The thoughts of man are essentially vanity. And he's put us in charge? How scary is that? Whoa. So therefore, to say or to think or to believe that we can trust our thoughts without comparing them to God's thoughts, boy, that's so dangerous. We have to be careful about that. Amen, Pastor. That's good. All right, another section. So we've gone section number 1, which was toleration of injustice. Section number 2 was spiritual blindness and darkness. Third, the afflicted believer is better off than one who will reap his sin. Verse 12, 13, 14, and 15. Now, we're not going to like this portion of Scripture. What you're also going to recognize is that now this becomes a personal portion of Scripture where the prophet who's speaking, the person that God's using through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is now going to make this personal. And therefore, the people of God, the children of God, should and could make this personal. Verse 12, blessed is the man. That's exactly the way Psalm 1 starts. Blessed is the man, woman. How can they be blessed? Whom thou chastenest. Now, we didn't want that to come up, did we? No. How in the world can a man be blessed who God's going to chasten? Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. We'll read the short version of chasten as opposed to Hebrews chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12 says, My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord hateth, he correcteth. No. The Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. We're being chastened because of God's love. We're being afflicted because of God's tenderness and his mercy. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. 1 Peter chapter 5. If I read it before you get there, just move on. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. That's not going to happen unless we get the fire. Right? It comes with the territory. We have to have the fire. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Galatians 3, 24. These pages get away from me. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. It says in verse 12, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy what? Out of thy law. So the law was our schoolmaster, yes. Psalm 119, there's a passage or two in Psalm 119 that quite frankly I wish wasn't there. I wish I had a spiritual exacto knife and I could just remove those couple verses. I'll share them with you. Maybe you'll despise them as much as I did. Psalm 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been blessed. Wrong. It is good for me that I've been afflicted. Why? That I might learn thy statutes. Ooh. Verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast blessed me. That thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. I don't like that. Because that gives discomfort. We want the easy street. We want comfy and cozy. And ice cream and, you know, we want the American dream. And it's got to be air conditioned. Verse 13. That thou mayest give him rest. God wants to give the person that he's personally afflicting. He wants to give that person biblical rest. So therefore, when people ask you how you're doing, you can't say I'm tired. Because if God's giving you biblical rest, it's part of the package, amen? Tired is part of it. If you're breathing, praise God. If you're not tired, well, get tired. Maybe you're not working hard enough. God wants to be our strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So to say I'm tired, that might be a fact, but glass half empty, half full. You know, it's all about perspective. So God wants to give us rest from the days of our adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. Meaning, endure. Hold on. You might not see it. God's vengeance, not revenge. God doesn't want you to revenge. God's vengeance is perfect because it's from him. But God needs to work on us. And that's where the crucible of affliction comes from. Adversity. Verse 14. For the Lord will not cast off his people. He will not turn his back. He will not forget. Neither will he forsake his inheritance. Praise God. All right. So we've looked at the third section. Fourth section is chapter verses 16 through 19. 16 through 19. And this is when it gets really good. This is how we learn how to worship in the face of opposition and wickedness. Verse 16. Who will rise up for me? I don't know about you, but that sounds cool. Who's going to rise up for me? This is not God asking who's going to rise up for God. God can take care of himself. The author is saying, who will rise up for me? Haven't you asked yourself that question? In a pity party that you've had? What about me, Lord? Who's going to watch out for me? Who's going to take care of me? Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? That's a legitimate question. And in fact, that was the theme for the New Yorkers Constitutional Freedom Rally back in 2013. Rise up was the name of that theme that year. Verse 17, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. Take that to the bank. That's a deposit that'll get you through to glory. Unless the Lord had been my help. That's where the help is. Amen? Trust, rely, depend on him. When I said, verse 18, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. And there are slippery places out there. Parenting, marriage, finance, family relationships, the list goes on. Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Verse 19. In the multitude of my thoughts. I don't know about you, but some of us have more thoughts than others. Some of us have too many thoughts. Some of us can't click off our thought thing. I don't know when this happened, but I think when I was in college, and every once in a while I needed a nap, I need an hour, so I just turn it off. And I willed myself to take an hour nap. Of course, that didn't always happen. Then we had kids. But now that we have the empty nest, I can go somewhere for an hour nap and go, sweet. Now, some of you say, man, I wish I could get 1 hour period. Because your mind races constantly. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts could and should delight your soul. That's rest. Dan helped me and others when we were doing some of the work outside, getting the landscaping ready. Jason wanted this carpeted for his wedding. Yes, sir, Jason, whatever you want. And there were some days that I was tired. But in the midst of being tired, there was rest. In the midst of in the ministry, there's rest. In the midst of affliction, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of a tornado, if you are in Christ and know it, you can be resting. Because you're trusting. Because you don't do it. You're on the boat with the disciples. Lord, don't you care? Dummy, of course he cares. He's right there on the boat with you. That's a dumb question. You could say, nice weather we're having. Don't you think? or we could ask, how long, Lord? Are you kind of testing our faith?
I mean, how much water we have to take in this boat before you do something? Like, or just calm this stuff. This is really getting a little...
But anxiety is not part of rest. Is it? Tension. Nervousness. No. No. Fruit of the Spirit is patience. And that's where the rest comes from. The rest is in Him. So that's how we can worship God in the midst of opposition and persecution and affliction. The face of wickedness. Now, verse 20 reminds us again, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? Now, the throne of iniquity would remind me, this is not just a wicked person, this is the throne of iniquity. So the throne of iniquity would probably have to be the prince of the power of the air. Okay, so we're talking about the big dog about spiritual warfare. The throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by law. They, those that are involved in iniquity, gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. So even though we have a place of rest, even though we have a place of victory, man, it's not going to look good. It's actually going to get crazy, crazier. I was telling Dan this morning, the Ninth Circuit Court in California heard a case about a chimpanzee, whether it was a person or not. He accidentally picked up a camera and took selfies. And the animal rights people in California believe that those pictures belong to him. So it was a copyright case, a copyright case. Are we crazy or what? We are crazy. Then I heard a guy yesterday who embezzled, stole $1.5 million worth of burritos. To make, I don't know if it was the stuff to make them or extracted. It was it a nursing home or was it a school? He was siphoning off from where he worked $1.5 million worth of burrito materials. And apparently there was a burrito, like a 500-pound burrito, showed up at where this guy worked, which was the tip-off. But the point is, the judge gave this man 50 years in prison. Really? Because of $1.5 million worth of burrito food? Burrito food? 50 years in prison. And we have murderers and abortionists and 50 years for taco food? I mean, seriously. Verse 22. But the Lord. That's so good. In the midst of the craziness and the confusion, think about how confusing it must have been during the Depression. How confusing and terrible that was. The late 30s, Germany's torpedoing boats. The nation wants to stay out of a war, another war over there. We can't do another war over there. But the Lord is my defense. And my God is the rock of my refuge. Now, I know we probably read passages like that in the book of Psalms so often that we just take it for granted. We shouldn't. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity. Galatians chapter 6, we get what we reap. I mean, we... So what we reap. We reap what we sow. Help me here. I'm having a moment. It's okay. Pastor, I think you got that wrong. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. Worship in the face of opposition and wickedness. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. I hope that's true of you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this reminder, this encouragement, this timely review of what's taking place in our culture, where things seem out of control in many areas. Help us to go to the rock that's higher than we are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have our prayer sheets right here. Thank you, Vic.